Welcome to the ACG Surgery and Pregnancy Monograph Podcast. We have Dr. Amy Leitner here, who is going to participate in this podcast with us. Thank you, Dr. Leitner, for participating.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay, we can get started. So what do you counsel pregnant patients who need elective or non-emergent surgery?
Yeah, so elective surgery, we counsel patients that if possible, to delay surgery after pregnancy, if possible. However, if not, there are a lot of safe options around when we perform elective surgery. So ideally, we perform elective surgery in the second trimester, so between weeks 14 and 28. And the reason for that is the first trimester, you know, medications, anesthesia, there may be some risk of teratogenicity. And in the third trimester, there can be some risk of preterm delivery. So the ideal window for us for elective planned surgery is the second trimester, or being able to defer to after pregnancy.
What do you counsel pregnant patients who need emergent surgery?
Yeah, so emergent surgery, you know, maternal health is always the priority. And so we have to do kind of what we have to do to keep mom safe and healthy. So emergency surgery is generally safe for mom and for fetus, but we obviously discuss potential risks of preterm labor, fetal exposure to anesthesia. So we try to educate our patients. And we weigh the risks against not performing the surgery at all, obviously, but we want to make sure that, you know, pregnant women feel safe going into surgery, that they just understand the potential risks and complications.
And then pregnant patients who present with symptoms of acute appendicitis, what is the first imaging you would recommend?
Yeah, so first line imaging is really ultrasound now. So we really try to use ultrasound versus CT scan. If ultrasound, we can't confirm a diagnosis or not, then we would probably move to MRI without contrast. So I'd say the order is ultrasound preferred, then MRI, and avoiding CT scan.
What is the treatment of choice for acute appendicitis in our pregnant patients?
Yeah, so in pregnant patients, you know, treatment of choice is really laparoscopic appendectomy. So minimally invasive. We obviously think about which trimester the patient is in, again, based on fundus height, about where we put our laparoscopic instruments. We have to keep in mind where the uterus may be and adjust accordingly. But, you know, risk of leaving an appendix in and having an appendix rupture obviously has more risk than safely performing a laparoscopic appendectomy.
Are the recommendations for pregnant patients with acute appendicitis would be a laparoscopic versus an open appendectomy?
Exactly.
There's been a change in terms of laparoscopic cholecystectomy over conservative management in patients who present with acute cholecystitis. What has changed that has improved the outcome in these patients?
Probably the use of more minimally invasive procedures and understanding the risk during pregnancy. Again, trying to do surgery in the second trimester when possible, and then doing this in a minimally invasive fashion. You know, patients have very good outcomes from laparoscopic cholecystectomy doing that. And the risk of not doing anything, we've seen, you know, more hospitalizations, more illness in general, and both mom and fetus not doing as well. So I think really trying to bridge patients to the second trimester if we can, or if not the third trimester, just again, keeping in mind where the uterus height is if we're doing this laparoscopically and where we put our ports in place. But I think the surgery, you know, surgical time and minimally invasive approaches have really improved outcomes overall of going ahead and doing surgery.
So if the patient presents like in their first trimester, would the goal be to do conservative management until they get to their second trimester?
Yes, if kind of an elective or semi-urgent and we can safely get them to the second trimester, that would certainly be preferred.
And then patients who have a Jade pouch, what do you counsel them on regarding pregnancy in that Jade pouch and delivery in the Jade pouch?
Yeah, so Jade pouch, you know, for ulcerative colitis, when patients have their colon removed and we reconstruct them with the Jade pouch, they have had pelvic surgery. So we do counsel them before pelvic surgery about there may be more difficulty getting pregnant on their own. So they may need some assisted reproduction help. The rates of getting pregnant with IVF are not any different in a J-pouch patient versus non, but we just have to keep in mind that there may be some pelvic scarring having done that surgery. And then in terms of delivery, so when patients have a J-pouch, we generally recommend that their mode of delivery is a cesarean section, and that a colorectal surgeon or general surgeon that's familiar be on call or available at the time of C-section, at least available, you know, knowing that patient is going to be having an elective C-section. It's just good to have that on hand. And so that's one of the things that we counsel patients about, certainly around delivery.
Pregnant patients with hepatic adenomas, how often are you performing surveillance imaging in these patients? And when do you start recommending or considering resection of these adenomas?
Yeah, so we know hepatic adenomas grow really due to estrogen, right? So they're at risk of growing during pregnancy. So we recommend MRI, again, every 4 to 6 weeks during pregnancy. And when the lesions are asymptomatic and less than 5 centimeters, we can generally keep an eye on them. If the lesions become symptomatic at all, or if they're growing rapidly, or they're greater than five centimeters, we would definitely recommend resecting these. Again, ideally in the second trimester. I feel like this is going to be the theme of the day, is second trimester is safest for surgery. So in an ideal world, we would do it during the second trimester. But definitely important to keep an eye on these, because there is a risk of rupture and hemorrhage. And so we want to keep an eye on that rate of growth, and then that size cutoff being the 5 centimeter cutoff.
And then let's say they're in their third trimester and the adenoma is growing. Do you just like do weekly ultrasounds and then potentially try and get them to do postpartum resection?
Exactly. So weekly imaging is safest to do, just to see how far out we can get them in their pregnancy safely, versus having to kind of weigh the risks and benefits of doing perhaps an earlier delivery based on the size of that adenoma.
What do you counsel pregnant patients who are diagnosed with colon cancer?
Yeah, so this one is a little bit trickier in terms of the multidisciplinary aspect of colon cancer and rectal cancer, actually. Colon cancer, unlike rectal cancer, colon cancer is typically managed with surgery first, unless someone has metastatic disease. If they have metastatic disease, then there may be an element of chemotherapy up front, but generally managed with surgery first. So again, as long as the patient's not obstructed from their tumor and it's not an emergent situation, we can think about delaying to second trimester, let's say if they're diagnosed in their first trimester. And so if we delay surgery to second trimester, then we can actually start treating with chemotherapy after their surgery based on just clinical guidelines if they had node positive disease, for example. So the idea is, you know, a lot of discussion around carrying that child if they're diagnosed early and potential risks and what that means, and then trying to get their surgery delayed out to second trimester or even third trimester. But understanding that we, you know, do not give chemotherapy in the first trimester. And so if chemotherapy is needed, that can be safely administered later during the pregnancy, depending on the type of chemotherapy needed.
And how does this differ in patients who have rectal cancers versus colon cancer?
So the difference is that in rectal cancer, we use neoadjuvant therapy, which is radiation and chemotherapy, a lot more upfront. Again, it depends a bit on the stage of the tumor, but in general, I would say that in rectal cancer, neoadjuvant is really used before surgical intervention. And the reason that's relevant is because it is both radiation and chemotherapy. And radiation, we know, is not safe during pregnancy, whereas certain types of chemotherapy can be safe during different trimesters of pregnancy. So the challenge with rectal cancer is that we're not kind of optimizing treatment for mom the way that we would do. So we're taking maybe some shortcuts, which can have implications for long-term survival benefit. And so that's where the challenge comes in, because if we skip neoadjuvant treatment and go straight to surgery, that can have oncologic implications long-term.
The tough case to be in.
Very challenging clinical scenario. And I think, you know, a lot of conversation, you know, with parents, with mom, with, you know, just around the risks and benefits and, you know, understanding patient autonomy, but also understanding that we need to be very clear in setting, you know, expectations and also in this case, specifically survival trade-offs.
And then what would be your main takeaway from this podcast?
So probably the main takeaway from this is that, you know, having good conversations with our patients so that they're well educated and understand their risks, but also understanding that pregnancy is not a contraindication to surgery. Many of our patients may be pregnant when we operate on them. So we just want to make sure that we're doing this safely and that we're educating them through the process. And ideally, you know, trying to optimize timing, of course. Sometimes we can't do that, but a lot of times if we have the ability to do that, then understanding that second trimester is generally the safest time during pregnancy. But certainly, again, to underscore the fact that pregnant patients are also surgical patients and that, you know, we just need to educate and optimize.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us for this podcast. It was very informative.